Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Now, I'm actually a pastor. You're going to learn about that as well. So I might be doing some preaching. Is that okay? I get a little excited. But I, in my life, believe it or not, when I was a baby, I actually was adopted. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, but I guess you can say, you know, interesting enough, a lot of us in here are entrepreneurs. You know, when you're adopted, it's at that moment, it's a moment, literally, think about it. My first name was Brian, right? That's not my name right now, but my first name was Brian. My biological mother named me Brian. So, again, I couldn't comprehend the controversy that was going on in my biological parents' lives. They were college students. They couldn't take care of me for whatever reason. Still don't know, still haven't met them. Don't know the story behind it. But there was a controversy. You know, I got, you know, experienced as a baby when I was born, rejection, right? You know, I experienced not having, you know, the resources that you need in life, you know, the mental support, the educational support, the financial support. I had none of those things at that time. You know, and sadly to say, you know, my future could have been, you know, a really, really bad future. But I like to say, you know, there's always a statement in life. We always say, but God, amen?
Amen.
You know, God had a family, my father and mother, who my mother literally had 5 miscarriages. And she was unable to bear children. And so as a result of that, she wanted to adopt. And so my father, his last name is Chu. They adopted me, and they named me G.W. Chu. Amen? And I grew up in a cool home. I grew up in Maryland, about 40 minutes from D.C. We grew up in the country on 6 acres. And so we were a family that loved eating, loved food. This is me on over there with my dad. He's made a Thanksgiving dinner or some kind, I don't know what it was exactly, but some kind of great meal. My parents was a family that loved to cook. My mother had her famous potato salad, mac and cheese. My father had his delicious cake that he made. You know, I always, as a young child, loved to get involved in, you know, birthday parties and this things that evolved around food. And it was so exciting. And so in my life, as I grew up, my father, again, he was not Adventist. My mother was raised Adventist. So I grew up in a family that literally, you know, we wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. So understanding that, we ate literally everything. When I say everything, I'm talking about squirrels. You guys don't look at me strange here. Like, literally, we were country people. And my father grew up, like, during an era where they ate everything that walked. It was a tough era when he grew up in the 50s and the 40s and so forth. And so, long story short, we grew up eating a lot of different things. And I had, you know, the taste of pork, you know, obviously a lot of, you know, different types of meats and so forth. But my mother was raised Seventh-day Adventist. And as a result of that, I started going to church when I was, like, in third or fourth grade. And so going to church at a young age, again, I wasn't Seventh-day Adventist, but I was exposed to, guess what? Vegetarian cooking, right? Now, again, if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s, anybody remember vegetarian food back then? Yeah. Was it good? No, it was good if you know how to make it, right? So I had a family that actually knew how to make good vegetarian food. I mean, my aunts and my cousins, a lot of them who made the dinners that we had on Sabbath dinners, they actually were amazing. You know, it wasn't, even though they used canned products, but they would take it and add some other special ingredients. Anybody heard of Special K? Special K, my mind, Special K? Right, they made Special taste like, I mean, it tasted like meat to me. I didn't know what it was, right? But it was good. You know, so I grew up eating vegetarian food that actually tasted good. And so, amazingly, at the age of 12 years old, I made a decision to actually not give up meat per se, but I actually stopped eating pork and all shellfish, stopped eating crabs. And so this was a big decision for a squirrel-eating, pork-eating, you know, country boy. You know what I mean? I'm literally telling my dad, I'm not eating no more pork chops. And so it was a pretty, you know, interesting transition. But at that point in my life, I believe God began putting a calling on my life. And I didn't understand what it was. And as I got older, literally, God began to speak to me even more clearly. And the calling came when I was pretty much in 12th grade. In 12th grade, I actually had a full scholarship. I used to be a runner. I actually had a full scholarship to a school called Howard University. And I actually was ranked in the nation at one point. This is a team of some guys I ran with. We were third in the nation in our age group when I was 16 years old in the 4x800 relay. And so I was a runner, and I had a full scholarship to go to this school, Howard University. And I, crazy enough, right after I signed my scholarship, my leg literally broke in a race. I mean, literally just broke in a race. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, like, this was my turning moment. My tibula broke while I was running in this race. This time, my scholarship, it's like 3 days before prom. I've been trying to get this girl to go to prom with me for like years, and she's finally, well, not years, but I've been trying to date this girl forever, and she's going to prom with me, but now I have a broken leg, right? I got this scholarship that I just got, You know, and so, and at this point, I don't know what to expect. But at that moment, at this crisis, God spoke to my, guess what, to my soul. And he began to convict me on some principles in life that has not left me. And I'm saying this as a foundation as I go into this conversation about food. I realized at that point in my life, God has something special for me. And he literally, at this point, again, I wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, and some of you all might not be Seventh-day Adventist, but the Seventh-day Adventist church, we keep the Sabbath. It's one of our health principles, amen? And it's actually an amazing health principle because you actually get to rest. We live in a society, especially, anybody here chefs? Anybody chefs in here? Now, isn't that life really tough? I mean, most chefs work 7 days a week, right? And so having a day of rest is actually a blessing. Some of you all might workaholics and so forth. So having a day of rest is a blessing. So in taking this scholarship, most of the track meets are on, guess what, which day? On Saturday. And I was convicted at a young age, at 17 years old, to let this scholarship go and to follow God all the way. So literally I gave this scholarship up, you know, by the glory of God, and I started my journey. And I began to recognize that God had a call on my life. I realized that this name Chu wasn't given to me by happenstance. This was a call on my life. And I began to read the books of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I began to see the gospel, the beautiful gospel. Can y'all say that with me this morning? I mean, I'm thinking I'm in church. There I go this morning, right? Can y'all say that with me this evening? The gospel, right? The gospel. The Bible says, he says that we should not be ashamed of the what? Of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to all of them that do what? That believe. And I fell in love with Jesus. Amen? I fell in love with him. I got excited about that man, Jesus. I believe that he had something special, and I wanted to do what Jesus did for me. I wanted to give that love to others. And so I started reading some books. I read one book called The Ministry of Healing, and it said, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. And it says, the Savior, what did he do? He mingled with men as one who what? Desired their good. Now, I started thinking about that more intently in that when you think about food, what do you do when you're eating food? What are you doing with one another? What is that again? You're mingling, right? I mean, food is one of the greatest spaces where you get to mingle, show love, and it also says show sympathy, right? Have anybody ever had a conversation over food and you started talking about some real deep stuff on your life? Or you begin to open up about something that after you had that first bite, your stomach might get, you know, and then you start saying, I need to say something to this person about life. And you have that conversation and sympathy begins to come in, right? And then it says you begin to meet what? He says Christ, what, desire their good. It says what, he met their what? Met their needs, amen? And then it says he won their confidence and then he bade them follow me. And I began to see how food could be used to do this, amen? I began to see that food was a tool that was actually a gospel tool. It wasn't any ordinary tool. It was a tool that could help me to actually, guess what, win some souls to the man named Jesus. Amen? So I got excited about this thing. I got excited. I said, man, my name is Chef Chu. And as I always say, going to give you something to chew on. Yeah, you don't know about that, right? So I started dreaming. I started reading more books about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I learned about the history, that this church was a vegetarian pioneer in this country. I don't know if you ever heard of John Harvey Kellogg. Anybody heard of him before? I mean, he started the cereal boom, the Kellogg, you know, the Kellogg cornflake. Remember that? The granola cereal. These were foods that were made to heal the body. They were sanitarium foods. These were foods that were used to bring healing to the nations. Amen? You know, actually, believe it or not, if you go back and study out even a lot about meatless proteins, that's a big thing today, meatless proteins. There's companies by the name of Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, and this is huge. This is the biggest trend right now in technology. But guess what? The Seventh-day Adventist Church started developing these things, guess what, over 130 years ago. Years ago. And I'm here today to tell you that this is not just something that started 130 years ago. I believe that this is God's plan from, guess what, all the way back from when? From the beginning of time. When God made man, he made him in his what? In his image. And it wasn't God's intent for us to be killing animals, amen? It wasn't God's intent for us to be what? Eating things that were what? That were not, obviously didn't have life inside of it. He wanted us to eat live foods, amen? This was God's intent. And so again, as I began reading these concepts, I had this call on my life that I can actually be a chef. Now here's the interesting thing. I went to school for a year. And I was one of those kids that was kind of a rebel. When I kind of came to life and kind of came to my calling, I was like, you know something? I'm just going to do this on my own way. I quit college, and guess what I did? I started working at an organic farm, farming vegetables. Kind of weird, right? I'm in business school. Literally, I was doing really well. I had 3.6 GPA in business school. I came home to my mom. So, mind you, my dad is thinking I'm crazy at this point. I quit a scholarship. He couldn't understand that. Now I'm coming home and saying, Dad, I'm about to quit college. So my father really thought I was, like, losing my mind, right? And I'm going to quit college, and I'm going to go work in an organic farm. And I'm going to learn how to raise food. Woo! Hey, man. This is exciting, right? So that's what I did, right? I literally quit college at 18, 3.6 GPA in the Honors Business School. I actually got another scholarship from Howard. I lost my scholarship because I didn't run. They gave me a new scholarship, a business scholarship, because my grades were so good. And so I literally walked away from that. So I'm like, I'm going crazy. I walked away from this scholarship, walked away from this scholarship, and now I'm going to work at a farm? But hey, I felt like Moses. I felt that God had a call in my life to do something amazing for him in these last days of Earth's history. So literally, I began to work for God. At that point, when I was 19 years old, I began working with a group of missionaries, and we began going door to door, literally selling books, and we also began selling food. And so what we did, we actually made something called Crunchy Bunchy Granola. It was amazing. One of my first products. I says, we don't box, but we have a granola that will knock you out. Pretty cool, right? And we also made bread and different things. But what we did, we went to literally, no exaggeration, we knocked on 40,000 homes. We actually counted how many homes were in the city. And what we learned in that, we learned how to talk about food, how to get excited about food, how to say it looks like chicken, tastes like chicken, but guess what? It ain't chicken. You guys get excited, right? So I learned how to talk about food. After 40,000 homes, you learn how to talk about food. You get excited about it. You don't get ashamed about talking about it because it's good, right? So what happened was I began to even read even deeper things from the Seventh-day Adventist Church about what we were called to do as a people in the last days. And I read this statement that just shook my life. I mean, this is an amazing statement. It says, as intelligent cooks do their best to do what? Enlighten others. The Lord will do what? Give them skill and understanding. Man, isn't that powerful? Anybody read the Bible before? It says the Holy Spirit will do what? Teach you what? All things, including how to cook. Amen. Anybody out here know how to cook? You got the word. There it is. God will teach you, right? Then it says, the word of the Lord says, forbid them not, for I will reveal myself to them as their instructor. As the brother said, God is a practical God. Amen. He wants to teach us how to do practical things. It is presented to me that men and women of capability were being taught of God how to do what? Prepare wholesome, palatable foods in an acceptable manner. Now, at this time, this is amazing information, because at this time, a man by the name of, again, John Harvey Kellogg was reading this. And what did he do? He started the cornflake cereal, right? You know how big the cornflake industry is, the cereal industry is? And he believed this. And I'm here to tell you that, again, we as a church, we have a prophet that we truly believe has been enlightened with information that's really is this way before our time. I mean, vegetarianism, lifestyle habits, this is way before our time. Her name was Ellen White, and this is one of the statements that she wrote. And I believed her. I believe not that she was anything special about her, but I believe that she was a prophet of God and that she has something special for us in these last days. And so what happened to me? Literally, I don't have a college degree. I'm not a food scientist, but I began to actually start inventing food products. I guess I became a scientist. And I actually created my own product line. I have something called Better Than Meat. And this became my foundational work as I was about 22, 23 years old. I took oat burger. Anybody heard oat burgers before? Now, oat burgers for me, and when I first ate an oat burger, it looked like cookies to me. And I was like, coming from meat to oat burgers, I can't do this. It got to be a better way to make some meatless stuff, right? So I began literally taking grains and taking beans and taking products and literally started experimenting on formulas. I started taking potatoes and tofu and all kind of things and started trying to figure out how in the world can you make a meatless protein that actually tastes like meat. And eventually, guess what? The Lord taught me. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it's kind of freaky to believe it, but here you go. Here's a steak that we actually make. It says it looks like steak, tastes like steak, but guess what? It's not steak. I mean, can you see the texture in that? Now, how's it done? I can't really explain the science to you, but I know how to do it. Amen. I mean, that's half the battle, right? If I was a scientist, maybe I can understand all the details of it, but literally, we make steak that's amazing. You can learn about that in a second, how we're using this product that God has given us in an amazing way in the city of Oakland. So again, we make steak that looks like steak. We make chicken that literally looks like chicken. We have a chicken skin that we make, and we make it like literally it just peels apart when you open it up, and it chews like fried chicken. So we have people that's eating Popeyes every day coming to us and saying, man, this tastes like chicken. Yeah, that's so funny, man. You get people off the street that come to the restaurant. They're like, man, somebody says you got chicken that tastes like chicken. I said, yes, I do. Won't you try it? And they tried, and my last name is Chu. I like to use the name Chu. So I said, I got something called barbecue sauce. You don't know about the barbecue sauce. So I tell them that line, too. So they get the chicken with the barbecue sauce, and, man, we having a good time at that point. And when they bite into that chicken that looks like chicken and that barbecue sauce, they start smiling, and they say, ooh, that's good. And I got them at that point. You know what they do next? They go and tell their friends about it. And then the word of mouth starts working. And I've been seeing it in motion, saints, and it's an amazing thing to watch how God can use us in an amazing way if we but let him. Amen? Amen. If we but let him. Keep on going. So, again, we're a local producer in Oakland. I have a company called Something Better Foods, and we manufacture on a small scale right now our Better Than Meat products. And this has been an amazing journey. And what we're doing right now, again, we started a restaurant. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of my history. You know, I started in my first restaurant. I mean, we talked about all the trials and tribulations. I read this statement about starting restaurants. And so this woman, Ellen White, talked about starting restaurants in the community. So I read about this. It says a hygiene in a restaurant of some sort should be established, which to give a practical illustration of the proper selection and the healthful production of foods. And I began to read this like, man, a restaurant could be a really good ministry for the community. And so I wanted to do this. And so when I was literally like 25 years old, we started our first ministry called Eating to Live. It was me and like four guys. And you know what we did in this restaurant? We all got credit cards and we ran them to the max. Like literally, no exaggeration here. So I had $100,000 in credit card debt, right? Does that sound like a good plan? So that means if it doesn't work, what happens? Oh man, it's like hell. I'm serious. It was like I experienced hell on earth, right? So it didn't work. And I literally had to go through like the worst. I had a house that I had and literally went through a foreclosure. I mean, I had literally it was just the worst thing in my life. I mean, I was like at the bottom. I mean, like, again, what happened? I was out of business, right? And it was like, this was a hard thing. I mean, we gave a lot to this restaurant. And there was some good things. I mean, in this restaurant, we was doing ministry in the community. I mean, amazing things began to happen. But again, it was just like how we invested into this thing was just totally irresponsible. And I didn't have anybody. I mean, I should have stayed in business school, right? Maybe it would have taught me some good things, right? But I quit. And I learned my first hard lesson about money, about being a wise investor and making sure you do what? Count the what? Cost. And making sure you don't take out a bunch of debt on credit cards. The most craziest thing you ever do in your life. That's what I did. But anyway, I'm out of business. You know, but the good news is when you go out of business, there's some good things you can get to read. You learn that, guess what? A lot of people in life, guess what? Went out of business. But the issue is, are you going to give up? And I read this quote. It says, God trains by bringing them to disappointment and apparent failure. It is his purpose that they shall learn to master difficulties. He inspires them with determination to prove every apparent failure a success. So the key is, are we going to learn from our mistakes? That's the key. Often men pray and weep because of the perplexities and obstacles that they confront them. But if they would hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast until the end, God will make their way clear. Success will come as they do what? Struggle against apparently insurmountable difficulties, and with success will come the greatest joy. So guess what? We'll be right back. We're opening up soon. I opened up, and guess what? Another restaurant. Hey, come on now. I didn't give up. Got excited. Now, this restaurant, I changed the name from Eating to Live to Something Better. You know, hey, God has, guess what, thanks? Something better, right? It has made sense. I was at my bottom in life. Life felt like it was over. I mean, I literally went through a depression. Finances was at the rock bottom. But you know, when you get to the rock bottom, the only thing you can do is do what? Go up. Go up. Amen? So guess what? I began to go up. And then guess what I did? First thing I did, I got married. Amen. That was the first. Oh, man, that was so exciting. I got married to the love of my life. Tina Rodriguez is her name. And then, you know, like literally, like, we got married on April 24th, is tomorrow, and like literally, I think month later, we started a restaurant. I was like the craziest thing. Got this woman, and we got married, and got started a restaurant, right? So anyway, we started a restaurant together called Something Better, and this restaurant was really something better. This was something special because God began to teach me so many different things. Also, at the same time, I didn't have a degree, but the conference in the area liked me a lot. So they said, why don't you become a pastor of a church out here in Arkansas? So I became, guess what? A pastor. Could you believe it? I mean, I don't have a degree. You know, I'm bankrupt right now. I don't got no money. I got a wife. That's cool. But guess what? You know, they said, hey, Sue, won't you, they like me, and they made me a pastor of a church. And so now I'm a pastor, and guess what? I'm a chef. I'm like, oh, I like that. That's pretty cool. So I'm a pastor and a chef, you know. And it kind of started making sense. Again, going back to, again, before we was born, God had a what for us? A purpose for our life. God has a purpose for us. And so I began like, man, I'm a pastor. I'm baptizing folk. I don't have a degree. I mean, hey, I'm, you know, God is good. You know, amen. Got me a little flock, you know, and in my same community in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, by the same city where the college is at, Arkansas, the Razorbacks. Anybody familiar with that team? So I was in that same area. And so I began to start seeing the restaurant as a ministry. We began to go on cooking classes in the restaurant. We began mentoring youth in the community. This was a young man who he had so much turmoil in his youth. And we began to have him work with his hands and teach them skills and so forth. And he was working in the restaurant. So I began to see restaurant as a ministry. We began to have food challenges in the restaurant. And that was so amazing. We began to have Bible studies at the restaurant. Somebody got baptized as a result of the ministry in the restaurant. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, how can God use someone like me to do this? I mean, this is kind of this weird. And so, literally, I mean, we begin to do ministry in homes. Here we are at a person's home in the community and doing cooking classes in their home. Here we are. This is college students at my house eating healthy, gourmet, vegan food. This is like a pretty, really amazing day for me. So this is like, really, it's working. But you know something? The issue is that when you do this, again, sometimes you guess what in life? With all that success, sometimes in life you also guess what? Have disappointments. And what happened to me? I guess what? Out of business. It was a good story so far, but man, it didn't last. Sounded real good. But here I'm telling you, this is the good news for you guys. I'm sorry, I'm over my time. I'm okay? Okay. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, too, but out of business. But out of business is not necessarily out of business, because guess what? We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You know why? Because guess what? It ain't about me, guys. It ain't about me. It's about guess who, Saints? It's about him, right? If it was about me, it'd be over, right? But since it's not about me, I don't got to worry about if it goes out of business. I got to worry about, am I being faithful? And if I did all that I could do, that's what matters, right? In this restaurant, guess what money I spent? I only spent $30,000, right? We actually broke even in the restaurant. But the reason I didn't want to keep going, I had a new baby, and I had a wife that needed more support at home. And I also wanted to go into my manufacturing rather than killing myself in a restaurant. So I just decided to close it down and just focus a little bit. Does that make sense? So I shut down again, and I said to myself, I'll be right back. And amazingly, what happened was that I went to a conference in 2012. This is in 2012 when this was happening. So the first restaurant was about 2008. Second restaurant was about 2012 when that happened. And amazingly, what happened was that I met someone in the conference in Northern. I'm in Northern California conference. Anybody familiar with the conferences in the church? So I'm in the conference and I met someone there, and they had excitement about doing something in the city of Oakland. And I can tell you that we met. It was a providential meeting that how I met this individual. He's one of the secretaries of the conference up there, and he was excited about doing a restaurant in the city of Oakland. And it sounded good to me. And he was like, "Hey, we can get some money." I was like, "That sounds really good to me." Amen. So let's, you know, so anyway, I came to California, I'm living in Arkansas, and everything is looking really, 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 really good. And we got the business plan together, we're talking about numbers and so forth, and we talked to other people within the church, and we got a promise. Somebody promised us $300,000 to do this restaurant. I was like, wow, it's about to be a race. This is going to be amazing. So this is 2014, and again, we're getting some people that's interested, we're getting this traction. And so what I did at that point, I'm like, hey, we'll be right back. I'm going to move my family, and I'm going to guess where? California. Sounded real good, man. My wife got so excited. I'm moving to guess where? California. Didn't that sound good? So guess what? I had a little son, had a little Prius. We packed up everything, put it into a storage, and we came across country in a little old Prius to California. So I'm thinking that everything's going to be real good when I get to California, and I'm saying, oh, baby, we're going to be living good in California. Oh, it's going to be nice. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I get to California, and I tell you, I came to the conference office, and I'm excited, saying, when are we going to get started? They looked at me and said, son, The money that we thought was coming, it ain't coming. Woo! Man. Lord, have mercy on me. I quit my job as a pastor. I had a little production kitchen when I was in Arkansas. I was paying a little bit of money on that. It wasn't a lot. And all that's gone. I gave the contract. Everything's over with. So I'm in California without a job. And I'm standing in this one little room, like 12 by 12 foot space, with me, my wife, and my son, with no job. But you know something? What does it say? God is what? He's amazing. I quit too fast, man. But I had, here's the good news, though. God had a lesson for me. Everybody has a lesson they have to learn in life. And this was a lesson for me for trust. Again, some of you guys out here are looking to start businesses, have dreams, and so forth. And sometimes you can't see the end from the beginning. In this experience, I couldn't see the end from the beginning. If you guys can bear with me, if I can tell this story. Literally, I came out here with $10,000. That's all I had to my name. And within 4 months, that money was, guess what? It was gone. But guess what? God had a plan. $10,000 was gone. Conference still hasn't given me a job. I'm literally going back to some of my first skills. I used to be a landscaper, so I'm landscaping, doing all kind of stuff to take care of my family. And literally at this point, I called my mom. You know, when you're in desperation, who do you call? You call mama, right? So I said, Mama, can you help me? I need some money. She said, okay, I'll give you $2,000. At least hopefully I get you through another month. She gave me $2,000. At this point, literally in my business, I didn't make a lot of money. I mean, I was a pastor and I didn't make a lot of money. So I didn't get a lot of money back on my taxes. This is the first year I filed taxes with the child, and I had a dependent. And man, I didn't know how good it was going to be. So I filed my taxes that year, and literally, this is April. Within 2 weeks, my mother gave me $2,000. I filed my taxes. I normally get like $1,000 back. Sometimes I don't get anything back. This year, I got back $6,000. I didn't ever get that much back, so I wasn't even thinking that was going to happen. I was amazed. $8,000. Now, follow me here. Story's not done. Literally, I had an accident when I was in Arkansas before I moved to California. A lady hit me at a stop sign. So I went to, when I got to California, I finally took the car to the adjuster to see how much money I can get for it and how much it would cost to get fixed. So the guy told me, says, hey, you can either take the money, $1,600, or you can go get the car fixed. And I looked at him and says, I take the money, and I don't even know where the dent is at. So he literally gave me $1,600, and now I'm guessing, I'm sitting on how much money? $2,000, $6,000, $1,600. How much money is that? $9,600. $9,600. Lie to you not. In that same 2 weeks, I had some bills that I overpaid before I moved here. I literally had Comcast and some other stuff. I got some more checks for like another $300. So I came out here literally with $10,000. I lost the $10,000. And in how many weeks did I get that money back? A miracle. $10,000 is back in my bank account. I lie to you not to this day. From that, I moved where I was at, got myself a nice apartment, and I was looking real good. And at that point, the story gets real good at that point. The Lord gave me a vision. You know, in the last days, the Bible says that God will give men visions and dreams. Amen? And he began to give a vision. And literally, the conference, we started negotiating on this restaurant. The money thing started working itself out. They was like, this guy ain't leaving. He's still here. And my need of me still being in California literally let them know that I was serious. I'm like, I came here to California to do a restaurant, and by God's grace, it's going to happen. And so we believed, and so what happened now, this time around, I took my time. Amen? We wrote a manual for the restaurant. What do we do? A manual. Anybody know what a manual is? It's your what? It's your operation manual of how you're going to operate your business. It's like a business plan, right? I put everything of all those years of hard work, restaurant failure, that's what that manual was. With 300-page manual, blood, sweat, and tears went into that manual. So I came to the conference office, and I had this big old book, 300 pages. I said, read it. And they didn't read it, but, you know, hey, it looked good. 300 pages. And this is like, hey, this is going to work. This restaurant's going to work. So literally, we started working on the branding. So the Veg Hub was born. Less meat, more goodness, right? And so we started developing the concept. And literally, the design of the restaurant was amazing. And so God began to just do amazing things. The concept began to come together. We had our grand opening on January 15th of this year. We had a line that was so long. We had literally, a lot of you not, literally almost 200 people that came through that day to that restaurant. And I mean, you can see the line. This is not even the extent of the line. It actually goes around the building, like outside. And they stood out there for like 2 hours to get food. That's how amazing it was. And so literally, we worked on the menu. You know, so we got a simple sandwich menu, you know, different types of breads you can choose. You can pick the meat, pick a flavor. So we got the barbecue, the jalapeno ranch. You know, it's pretty amazing. You know, then we got our plates. You can get awesome plates, fried chicken, looks like chicken, tastes like chicken, right? Three cheese mac and cheese, soul food greens. You know, here's on Instagram. So we have customers now engaging with us, Instagram and Facebook. We literally have, no exaggeration, on Facebook and Yelp, over like 130, 140 reviews. Almost 98% of them are five-star. It's amazing. I mean, God is just doing amazing things. You know, so all I can just simply say is that, you know, we're working with Yelp. We did some Yelp events, and that's pretty amazing. That was pretty awesome. You know, here you see the line of the restaurant, you know. And so, again, all I can say is that, you know, God can do amazing things. Amen. And I'm just here today to tell you that God is waiting for his people to believe. You know, again, remember that he's called us before we were born. Amen. He called you before we were born to do the work that we're doing today. So don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do it.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.